This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is sentencing day for Brian Koberger, the man who has pleaded guilty to murdering four University of Idaho students in late 2022. House Speaker Mike Johnson closing proceedings and sending members of the House home early as cries grow louder for more transparency in the release of the full Jeffrey Epstein files. Speaker Johnson.
We're not going to allow them to engage in that charade anymore. Why do I call it a charade? Because the Democrats are trying to play gotcha politics right now.
This is Democratic Senator Cory Booker.
Clear, the speaker believes that their membership in the Republican caucus over there is so fragile that they cannot withstand simple debate, discussion about the topic of Jeffrey Epstein.
A heat dome covering much of the country, at least the middle and southern parts of it, the core of extreme heat over the Mississippi River Valley today, with feels like temperatures over 110 degrees in places like Memphis, Tennessee. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Enjoy an evening of speakers, music, and prayer at Celebration for Jesus Friday night at 7 at Fireman's Park in Hillsboro. The idea for Celebration for Jesus was thought of years ago. Bob Magline is an organizer of the event.
It started a number of years ago by a man by the name of Rudy Rote, who is a very great organizer and really dedicated to Jesus Christ. And back in the late 90s, he began taking church walks with church congregations. And they were living up in Holman at the time, and they walked around various places in that Holman area praying.
Celebration for Jesus is an ecumenical gathering that will feature musicians, all for him, from the Sparta area and various speakers.
Tom Hoteck is the former head of the Hillsboro Fire Department, and he's also a member of the Congregational Church there in Hillsboro. He's going to be speaking. And Spencer Budenhagen is a young man. He graduated from Reedsburg High School last year. He is going into the ministry. He's going to be speaking. And then there's a fellow by the name of Jim Farley, who came from Hillsboro, and he was kind of a wanderer for many, many years, and he's coming to give his testimony of how he came back to Christ. And then at the end, Andy Johnson, who's the pastor of the Laval Advent Christian Church, is going to be speaking.
No money will be collected at the event. All are welcome to attend Celebration for Jesus Friday night at 7 at Fireman's Park in Hillsboro. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers open camp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers training camp got started this morning. Competition for jobs on the roster. Rashid Walker knows he'll be competing for his job, even though he was the starting left tackle all last season.
You know, the NFL, we have a long offseason, so I've been itching to just get back and just, you know, prove myself once again. I feel like that mindset could be contagious to the rest of the team. And, you know, if everybody's clicking on the same page, I feel like we can do great things this year.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners in Seattle 1-0. Cal Raleigh, with his 39th home run of the season, he leads the major leagues. Pat Murphy asked, why did he pull his starting pitcher, the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, out of the game halfway through the fourth inning?
The kid knows we've got his best interests in mind, and we're going to try to do everything we can to keep him away from any situations that could lead to overuse or putting him in danger of exposing himself or getting hurt.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We may have an isolated thundershower this morning, otherwise sunny, hot, and muggy today. Our high right around 94, heat index 105 or better this afternoon. Tonight, clear, 75. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 89. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
I got two special guest hosts tomorrow, and they'll be talking with Pete Schwalbe of Nightlight and Jim Santel of Amicus, a law review. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. 7:06. Nice to have you here. Broadcasting today and tomorrow from Civic Media HQ in Madison, along with Parker Olson, right here in Madison Studio A2. Here's visual proof for folks watching on social media. This room really is big enough for the two of us.
Not by much.
But not by much at all. In fact, we could not possibly fit meteorologist Brittany Merlot in here, which is fine because she is in Oshkosh. She is roughing it in the elements. And Brittany, I've looked at the radar long enough to know the elements are headed your way. How are you?
Yes, they are. Good morning, everyone. I am fantastic so far. Woke up to a text alert here at Oshkosh EAA Air Venture saying, hey, listen up. We've got rain headed here. It's going to be starting around 7 a.m., lasting for about 3 hours or so. So that's what we've got here. We're still under the heat advisory as well, but a good chunk of the state from Eau Claire to Green Bay and everyone south is under that heat advisory today. We are climbing to the mid-80s to mid-90s, and it's going to be feeling like 100 to 105 degrees today. So we've got a lot of things going on. We've already got the warm front moving in, rain rolling through a good chunk of the southern half of the state. Nothing severe, but a few power outages caused from it. I'm not seeing any high wind reports just yet, but a lot of lightning strikes with this rain that rolls through. And it's kind of got a cool front as it moves in. It's like that shelf cloud, that spaceship look as it comes into the area. So that's what I woke up to this morning. A little bit of light drizzle, and now it's just cloudy and starting to get a little bit humid. So we've got chances of rain this morning, a little break in the afternoon, but I do think these strong to severe storms are going to start to spark up around 2 o'clock, far northwest Wisconsin. Some of those, of course, could be strong to severe. And then the line builds around 6 p.m. and works its way through the northern part of the state. It kind of fizzles out as it moves south. So the tornado threat is going to be just north of Wausau into Hayward, Eau Claire, Rhinelander area this afternoon. And high wind threat kind of stretches a little bit further south and towards La Crosse and just north of Green Bay. But of course, areas throughout the entire state down in Milwaukee and Madison, you could still see some high winds and some heavy downpours with this system moving in. It's going to be a pretty big line later on this evening. So round one isn't too bad, but round two is going to get much worse.
Well, and round one, I mean, it's nothing to shake a stick at watching it go through the Madison area. I was not aware that it was coming when it was getting ready in my spacious palatial hotel room in the Madison suburbs today. And then just as I opened up the curtains to get set to walk out for the day, I see it's just starting to pour. I'm thinking, if only I had looked at Brittany's notes a little earlier, I would have known to get out of the hotel earlier. But anyway, I stole this towel from the hotel room. I'm good. I'm covered. I got to
cover your head.
Got to remember to bring that back. And you take care out there as well. You got all kinds of people. You got gear. You got weather coming your way. So, and then by the way, you're going to be taking tomorrow and Friday just as personal days to continue to enjoy all that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes. I know it's going to be pretty crazy weather, so I'm going to have to be staying dry myself, and I want to get in there and have some fun. So I will be back on Monday.
Oh, no, that is just fine. Robin Tigerton asks, did you do any flying at the EAA yet?
Not yet. See, this is why I needed some PTO. I'm going to get out there and social media. That's where I'll have all those videos for you guys.
Oh, that's fabulous. He says, good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy and 70 degrees yesterday. Mowed 5 yards in Tigerton. No mowing today because he has a doctor's appointment. He said, when I was a kid, I remember some of the hottest days of the year. We'd be baling hay or in high school at the beginning of football practice. We played Alison Krauss in our last segment and said his favorite song is When You Say Nothing at All. And, of course, notes the heat advisory is basically the Highway 29 corridor and south. I mean, it is a big old chunk of the state that's going to be both hot and stormy today. So we can no longer say you haven't been warned. Brittany was here to tell you, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. You guys stay cool, stay hydrated, and stay safe tonight.
Exactly. You as well. We'll talk to you a little later. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you.
All right. As always, we'd love to have you as a subscriber to our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and we have a Sunday morning newsletter that focuses more on the political news of the day, including a question of the week about early advertising. And if you see early advertising from somebody trying to build their name ID, does that make you respect their initiative, or does it turn you off to have such early political ads running this far in advance of a campaign? Again, you can always send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, to send an email. You can also, of course, text us through the Civic Media app, or you can send us a voice note. Just use that voice note feature when you call up one of the stations on the Civic Media app, put a little recording on there, and we may play it here on air. Well, the Brewers' 11-game win streak came to an end. It did not go to 12 games. There will not be free hamburgers unless you head over to Parker's place. He likes to grill. He'll make you up a little something as you, cry in your beer about the Brewers not being able to reach that 12-game plateau. They lost 1-0 to the Seattle Mariners on a Cal Raleigh home run. It was... it ended not with a bang, but a whimper, I guess you could say, the 11-game winning streak.
Yeah, not as bad of a whimper as the Phillies won the other day. Did you see this? They won on a catcher's interference.
Yeah.
That is the saddest win I think I've ever seen.
It is, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, catchers can't put your mitt there where they can swing the bat, so don't do it with the bases loaded. It'll bite you, as it did. But the Brewers lose, but they will wrap up that series in Seattle this afternoon. Pregame starts at 2 o'clock on several Civic Media stations, 205 to be specific, for that game, and then the Brewers are off tomorrow. And then they start a three-game series Friday at home against the Marlins, and then the Cubs come to town next Monday. So when I mentioned Bill Berrien, the candidate for governor, running ads early, it's because he's got to build up his name ID. He's not an elected official. Other elected officials don't have to worry about that. They don't have to spend money yet. In fact, they can raise more money right now as a result. And that takes us to Tom Tiffany and headlines, including one in the Milwaukee Journal, that read, Congressman Tom Tiffany teases a run for Wisconsin governor but says he hasn't made up his mind. Okay, that's fine, but he put signs out there when we talk about teasing, like he recently tweeted out a photo of himself, holding a crappie and saying that all future Wisconsin gubernatorial candidates must prove they know how to hold a fish. And he, of course, says, purchase the website domain name TomTiffanyForGovernor.com, which leads directly to his congressional campaign site. The homepage labels Tiffany, quote, a proven conservative for Wisconsin. You know, not northern Wisconsin. He's got the whole state lumped in there. And when asked by the Journal Sentinel, Tiffany told the newspaper he'd make his decision, quote, after July. Now, of course, he's not the only candidate who might yet run still. There is State Senate President Mary Felskowski, There's former Senate candidate Eric Hovde. There's former Senate candidate, governor candidate Tim Michaels, and Tiffany as well. In putting those signs out there, what is it that we're supposed to read into this? Well, as somebody who's been involved in this little game, let me explain the game. Fundraising is no fun. There's nobody that puts the fun in fundraising, despite the old joke. It is a long, hard slog of asking people to support your campaign because you're the candidate that best reflects their values and who wants to get things done. And so you sit there hour after hour after hour, either making phone calls or attending fundraisers or planning fundraisers, because this is the system that we have right now to raise funds to be a viable candidate. So how could you gin up that fundraising? What could juice up the donors a little bit? Well, one of those ways would be to get people excited that you are looking at bigger and better things coming up ahead. And as much as I love to tell people that you should not lump both parties together, you know, the both sides do it, both parties do it about a lot of things, this ain't one of them. This is one where both parties very much look for anything that provides a fundraising edge. And if that includes teasing a potential run that you're probably not going to make, but it gets some people excited, well, chances are you're going to put that out there. And I have seen people from both parties do this over the years. And I would not call it wrong. I would not call it even unethical. I would call it an unfortunate part of the fundraising landscape that's out there. We have had members of Congress from both parties who have multiple times teased a potential run for governor or a potential run for U.S. Senate, and or they just don't deny the rumors that are out there that they're thinking about running. And then when you look at their next campaign finance report, well, gosh, did they ever get a nice boost from people who thought, you know, that person might make a nice governor, or that person might make a nice senator. And it's just one of, you know, many tactics that are out there that Tony on YouTube best describes with the words money, 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 money. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's not easy. It's something where you're looking for whatever will give you just that little bit of extra bounce. And in Tom Tiffany's case, it's that. Now, he may actually want to run for governor. He may be serious about it. All I'm saying is that he has absolutely no reason right now to tell you, no, I don't want to be governor. I'm perfectly happy where I am right now. He's in a district that he can get elected in over and over again. He can lob all the spitballs and verbal grenades that he wants at Democrats, knowing that he is safe. But if he had to run for governor, well, then he would have to defend some of the things about his record as a member of Congress, as a member of the state Senate. He would have to face questions beyond northern Wisconsin about why he wants to, dig up or bulldoze northern Wisconsin. This is the person who led the charge to get rid of the mining moratorium, the rules that said if you want to open a mine in Wisconsin, here's what you have to do. You have to prove that you have operated a mine somewhere else and closed it. And for years afterwards, you did not pollute the groundwater. If you've done those things, then you are welcome to apply to open a mine in northern Wisconsin. But if you can't do that, all evidence shows you're likely to pollute and harm the environment in northern Wisconsin. So no, thank you. But that law's not on the books anymore because of, as he's nicknamed up there, Toxic Tom Tiffany. And he has consistently been on the side of development and extraction and anything that would make the Northwoods a little bit less than what it is. Mary Felskowski, if she runs for governor, will be in that same vein of trying to tell people, you know, why it is that they want to pave paradise and put up a parking lot. But until that happens, Senate President Felskowski, Congressman Tiffany, and others can continue to let their voters know that they're intrigued by the idea. They're exploring the idea of running for governor. Then once they announce, well, the fundraising starts all over again, and they will have lost, you know, the edge that they're building right now. while they're continuing to let the rumor mill do its thing. And it is really doing its thing right now until Governor Tony Evers makes an announcement one way or another. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes, we are going to talk about declining enrollment and the reduction in state funding. Live here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000 plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net. www.northernpines.net.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're going to talk about veterans and their benefits and services provided in the area. And joining us, Karen Nock, Veterans Service Officer, and Hugo Santiago, Veterans Benefits Specialist. Good to have them back in the studio today. Karen, congratulations. I understand you've just passed 10 years in this position. Is that true?
Yes, 10-year anniversary working for the county and working with our wonderful local veterans.
Yeah, does it seem like it's been that long?
No, it does not. It does not. I still get a chance to meet new people on a regular basis, you know, which is pretty amazing.
Hugo, how long have you been in this position?
Yesterday was my 3-year anniversary.
3 years, wow. So, in fact, I think we had you on here on the morning show, and you had just taken over that
spot. That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So you're a veteran of the morning show now, too. Well, good to have you both in here. Karen, I know you're always encouraging veterans to make that yearly visit, aren't you?
Yeah. There's so many changes all the time. Changes to the VA system, to the healthcare system, to income limits, levels, new things that they're adding to presumptive lists, especially now with Iraq and Afghanistan wars that are still coming out, that we just ask people to stop in and just see what's new.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe we would be surprised at all of the avenues you can send them to, right?
Oh, correct. Yeah. It's there's no way to know everything in this job, but I still have veterans that come in and educate me on things, you know. It's very important to try to keep current and stay up to date on all the different avenues.
Hugo, is some things that are relevant to Richland County that might be to other counties, or is it pretty much the same everywhere?
It's pretty much the same, but, you know, we, like she's mentioned, we encourage everybody to keep on coming on, at least on an annual basis, because things change. And you could have been here last year, and during that year, things have changed, and it does apply to you. So that's why we do encourage people to come over.
Mm-hmm. Are there more programs benefiting veterans? I mean, does that change every year?
Well, there's programs that continue on, and, you know, and both state and national, they're being pushing to add additional benefits, whether it's for the veteran or their dependents. So it's not just the veteran, you know, because their families also, you know, can also benefit from the veteran's situation. So
is it kids and grandkids that can benefit?
Mainly, no. That's...
Is that a kind of a tricky question?
Well, it's a gray area. Oh. I'll put it like that. It's a gray area because there's been times that veterans end up being the custodian of their grandchildren. So,
oh, sure. I never thought about that. There is a common commercial that's on TV all the time, and it's for an insurance agency for veterans, and they always mention kids and your grandkids are eligible.
Yeah, that is correct. As long as a family member was part of the military, they are capable to sign up.
You guys are going to be out and about at the county fair, is that correct?
Oh, yes. We're always looking forward to it because that's when we actually, you know, we are more exposed to the general public. So, yes, we always enjoy the fair.
You probably see people face-to-face coming by that may not necessarily always think about coming into your office, right?
Actually, we have been able to actually bring people in because of the fair, that just by having a 5-minute talk with us at the fair, they realized that they didn't know that they could apply for them benefits. So that exposure is always good for our office.
Where are you generally located at the fair?
Close to the grandstand.
Okay. So people can look you up there, and that time is coming pretty quickly, too.
Oh, yes.
Karen, now let's talk about the 2025 benefits books.
So they're federal books. They're not state benefits. They're the federal. And they basically talk about everything from A to Z. They give descriptions on life insurance policies, health care, talks about CHAMVA, which is a separate for a dependent. It talks about service-connected disabilities, presumptives. They don't update the books every year, and they just happen to this year. And so we jumped on them, and I got 100 of them in my office. So anybody that has any questions or just wants a really thorough overview to read, to reference, we have them in the office, and they can stop by and pick one up.
Do you think a lot has changed since the last time you had a book?
Was it 22?
Some of the presumptives.
2022 was the last book, and then yes, in the last 3 years, there have been additional presumptives added. The VA life insurance policy that they came out with not too long ago, it also talks about the service, the disabled life insurance policy. But yeah, they've definitely improved a lot of the existing policies, implemented new ones, and updated the presumptives list.
Is there any talk about cuts to veterans' benefits or anything like that that's been going on this year?
No. There has not been any cuts. There has been additional funding that has been added. I've kind of heard rumors and rumblings about the number of employees at each hospital. I'm not exactly sure where that is going yet. And the VA regional office, they're moving people around and combining some offices and dividing others and taking job descriptions kind of and moving them around. So they're going through their own adjustment period. But not really. I haven't heard any cuts.
And that's good. And additional funding is also good, too,
yes,
isn't it? Perfect. Yes. We've talked on the program in the past, Hugo, about cemeteries. Any updates there as far as getting veterans' names on the stones?
Well, it's not right now. It's not the problem of getting the names on the stones. The main problem that we are facing is that there were changes in the form that the county used to provide to those cemeteries.
Okay. Any questions? Give you a call.
Yes.
Right? Well, appreciate it. Come back and see us again.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Well, pork and egg producers, but really all of production agriculture should be watching Washington, D.C. today. The House Agriculture Committee is going to take a look at California's Proposition 12. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Back in 2018, California voters decided to essentially ban the sale of conventionally raised pork and eggs within the state. That meant producers from coast to coast had to change their farming operations if they wanted to be in the California market. Now, reality has set in. Will Coggan, research director with the Center for Environment and Welfare, says that consumers are paying the price for being misled by animal rights groups in 2018.
They didn't realize how much it was going to drive up prices for their bacon, their eggs at the grocery store by banning conventionally produced products. And so with bird flu also creating havoc on the egg prices, eggs got up to over 10 bucks a dozen in California. And so we did some polling in May, and we found that Californians have voters remorse. They have buyer's remorse about Prop 12. 60% of Californians say they want a legislative fix to Prop 12. And we also asked, hey, if this Prop 12 was on the ballot again tomorrow, would you vote for it? Only 35% of people said yes, so it would fail if it was on the ballot again tomorrow.
Will Coggan, research director with the Center for Environment and Welfare, Congress trying to address a fix for Proposition 12 in California today. Markets in overnight electronic trade, not impressing me. Numbers are next.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Again, no change on barrel or block cheese yesterday. The AA butter lost another 2.25 cents to 247.75. This morning, December new crop corn's unchanged at 418. November beans are up a nickel at 1031. September wheat unchanged at 550. August milk that goes into cheese is down 27 cents at 1730 a hundredweight. I'm Pam Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
We may have an isolated thundershower this morning, otherwise sunny, hot, and muggy today. Our high right around 94, heat index 105 or better this afternoon. Tonight, clear 75. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 89. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay, Matt, and Aaron, Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is sliding into the seats here at Radio Park in Racine. We will be back with you on Thursday. Join Matt. Going to be a great show.
Matt and Aaron on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
We must have done something right there in that last segment Tony puts up on YouTube. I might have to listen to more Black Sabbath from that description. Well, that wasn't me. That was the Associated Press. But
you put it so eloquently.
I read it in a convincing fashion.
Yeah, like a true radio man. You know how to read.
Yes, that's right. Left to right, top to bottom. I've got this all figured out. In today's homeroom segment, let's start with a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan think tank, and their newest edition, their newest study, says Wisconsin education spending falls further behind the national average, noting that Wisconsin spent just shy of $15,000 per pupil on public elementary and secondary education in the 2022-2023 fiscal year, the most recent year for which the U.S. Census Bureau data is available. That was about 10% less than the national average of $16,500. When adjusted for inflation, Wisconsin pre-K-12 education spending per pupil has increased very slightly since 2002, just 2.5%. In 2002, Wisconsin spent about $14,000 per pupil in inflation-adjusted numbers, whereas the national average has gone up a little bit more than 2.5% since 2002. It's gone up 21% since then, as other states recognize the importance of educating our children rather than declaring war on education in our state. The Wisconsin Policy Forum report goes on to say this continues a long-running decline in our state's rank for per-pupil education spending, which back in 2002 was 11th in the nation. Wisconsin ranked 7th out of 12 states in the Midwest in 2023, compared to first among Midwestern states back in 2002. When statewide education spending is measured as a share of all residents' combined personal incomes, Wisconsin also has been on a long-term decline. In the 2000s and early 2010s, Wisconsin spent a significantly larger share of personal income on education compared to the national average. This share declined to roughly match the nation for a period prior to the pandemic. In 2023, however, that share increased nationally but continued to decline in Wisconsin. And the intro ends with saying, these figures are the latest example of a decades-long shift in our state's investment in public education and state and local tax burden relative to its peers. Observing them is particularly timely as state policymakers recently enacted the state's next two-year budget, of which K-12 education is the largest spending priority for the state. And that's as it should be. K-12 spending should be a high priority for the state. It still takes up a significant chunk of the budget, but much less so compared to the part of investment that was being made by other states. And when you get to the part about education spending as a percentage of combined personal income, that's what's called the tax burden. And the tax burden has gone down and down and down. And in the beginning, when it first started to decline, you could clearly hear politicians saying that that was a good thing in their book. And it has continued to fall to the point where if I were to say to you that funding education is no longer a significant tax burden, people, of course, would rightly say, well, that's crazy. Of course it's a tax burden. It's still the biggest part of the state budget. But in terms of it being a percentage of the taxes that you pay and as a percentage of the income that you get, the tax burden for our schools has gone down and down and down. And it has come with a price, with declining enrollment as students move into other schools, and in the loss of our best and brightest as our young people leave the state and go to raise their kids elsewhere, and as some of our educators leave the state in the wake of Act 10 in order to, again, pursue their career elsewhere. So the Wisconsin Policy Forum takes a very dispassionate look at the numbers and shows the degree to which, since Republicans took control of the legislature, we have made the education of our children less and less of a priority. That is eating your seed corn in a state like Wisconsin. And our original hope this segment was to talk to a business manager and a school board member about the impact of declining enrollment on state aid. And that's because it's very tempting to think, well, if enrollment goes down, well, then, yeah, state aid should go down as well, right? I mean, that only makes sense. It would seem on its face. But there are all kinds of fixed costs that stay fixed, even if there's a decline in enrollment. If you've got 30 kids in the classroom and then it drops to 20 kids in the classroom, the electric bill for the lights in that classroom are still going to be the same. If the buses still have to take the same bus route, even if they're stopping at fewer houses along the way, the cost of gas to fill up that tank is going to stay the same. And so declining enrollment should not be accompanied by a one-to-one decline in state aid. And there are ways in the state budget where there are other little pools of money besides general state aid that help school districts with that. But none of this in total has kept up with inflation for 16 years. And it's why you see this parade of referendums around Wisconsin, and why you're going to see them even after this new state budget. Because although it makes a significant increase in state aid to special education, which did take up a big chunk of all local school districts' budgets, but the zero increase in general aids means that in terms of inflation, school districts are going to continue to fall behind and are going to continue to have to go to referendum. Jimmy Koska is familiar with this particular phenomena, being a school board member himself, and knows a thing or two about how many school districts have passed referendum over the past 4 years. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I come on and I usually come here to talk sports, but yes, I do. I'm in my fourth year as a school board member in my district in southwestern Wisconsin. So spent a lot of time, looking at referendums. Our district passed one 2 years ago, which is actually just wrapping up work this summer. So we're one of 245 districts in the state out of the 421 that have passed a referendum in the past 4 years. And since they put in the revenue limits, 3 decades ago, over 90% of districts in Wisconsin have gone to referendum, have passed a referendum. And you think about that, and that's, nine out of it's every 10. There's a lot of districts in Wisconsin, 421 of them, of course. And then you think about schools that go to operational referendum, which are literally there to help pay the bills, pay expenses, keep the lights on, as you were talking about, the fixed costs, the things you can't, that can't go away. And when schools pass those, what they're saying is we have a perpetual hole in our budget that we can't fill with what we can bring in right now in our tax levies. So there are a lot of school districts that are working off of an operational referendum, which is, again, a perpetual hole in the budget, really due in part just to the fact that the funding system in Wisconsin for education has gotten so weird. So it is a very large number of districts in Wisconsin that have done referendum.
I like weird. Weird seems to be a good way to describe it. Could you describe when you were a new school board member, what it was like having to learn the way that education is paid for in the state, that it's not just a matter of, well, here go the property tax bills and here's how much we're going to get, and that it's a little bit more than that.
It felt kind of like sitting in, you ever see any crime show where they have the big board and they got, the suspects all tacked up on the board and you got lines and yarn drawn from one point to, that's what it felt like for me anyway.
It does.
There's a lot. I spent time myself diving into it with WASB, which is the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, and then going to the State Education Convention to really take a deep dive into it and learn as much as I could about it, especially knowing that we were going to referendum. I wanted to understand it. Like, why is this a need? Why is this happening even where, like, where I live? And it's really complicated. There's a lot of things that go into it. I think one thing that you started talking about here in this segment, Pat, you were talking about kind of the tax burden, right? The tax burden in the Wisconsin policy form analysis has dropped. One thing that has also dropped and one that has changed is just in general, Wisconsin public support for, you know, whether they would fund education or would they rather see tax breaks. That flipped about 3 years ago in the Marquette University Law School poll. So there's also a public perception that people feel like they're being taxed too much. You know, property taxes, and it's not just schools. I mean, there's municipal, there's county, there's all the extra fees and things associated. So in a vacuum, yes, school funding, a lower tax burden, but you know, there's a lot of things going on beyond that. And we've seen our state legislature try to address not only education, but also municipal funding in the last state budget 2 years ago. There's so many moving parts to it. And then you have to figure it all, how it all comes out on your tax bill. And that's what we sit in a school board meeting and try to, you know, determine every year at an annual meeting. Like, what is our impact on our local tax base? What's the mill rate? You know, what happens if we do this? What if the if the referendum passes, what's the impact? How much of the referendum is part of what we're levying from local taxpayers? There's so many moving pieces. I can't even say I figured it out in 4 years, but I learned a lot about it and what actually goes all into it. And that's really helped me understand kind of why we're at and why. I've also, Pat, on a lot of these shows, talked about it as, hey, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in regards to how we fund education in Wisconsin.
And the thing is, this is something that has been discussed for decades, quite literally, and that some years back, I forget exactly how many years now, but during the Walker administration, there was a Blue Ribbon Commission that was formed, a bipartisan group, to come up with, you know, a better mousetrap. And the Blue Ribbon Commission, made up of Democrats and Republicans, did their best, put forward some proposals. And if you really want to see educators who work on this issue get steamed, it's that there's this notion that after all was said and done with this Blue Ribbon Commission, so very little of it has been put into place.
And the other thing that happened, and this is what I think has really been the greatest impact to education funding in Wisconsin, is it also in that span, decoupling the rise in per pupil aid from inflation has really made a big impact. If you look at any school referendum graphic, the invariably will show you just the gap, the widening gap of what, you know, if we hadn't decoupled from inflation, what school funding would be now compared to, you know, how it is because it was decoupled from that. So now, you know, state aid might not go up for a couple of years like it won't now. Like there's the general aid doesn't change. Right. So there's a graph that shows just the widening gap of where school funding would have been had, you know, the old system stayed in place during the Walker administration. Right. So now that's the gap schools are trying to make up. And that's also kind of the gap you're seeing where in Wisconsin, where you see that the per pupil funding had it stayed on the old system coupled with, you know, tied to the inflationary measure, where we would still be where we were in the rankings, you know, 15 years ago with that. But instead, because it's been decoupled, now that per pupil education funding has really dropped off.
And by the way, that decoupling was done when Democrats were in control. I was one of those people that voted for it. And there was a reason why. The Great Recession had just started, and we were facing a $3 billion hole, and said, you know, the money just isn't there to keep up with inflation this year, so let's take a pause this cycle. Republicans took control the next year and never hooked the train back up, and we have been falling behind inflation ever since. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around, and Jimmy and I will continue our conversation here, and then we'll have much more in our 8 o'clock hour live from Madison today. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You have your club card.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're here to talk about a free small business clinic coming up in the area on August 14th. And joining us is business consultant Nora Rowan-Schmidt. Good morning, Nora.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Good to have you on the program by the
Great
phone
to be
today.
Here. Yeah, thank you so much.
I know this kind of thing really excites you. Can you tell us a little bit about what you got going on?
It does. You know, as somebody who has worked with small businesses for a pretty significant amount of time now, and, you know, I have a couple of small businesses myself, the opportunity to host these small business clinics, and this is the fourth one that we've had in the region over the last couple of years, is really exciting. And, you know, the reason for that is because these clinics acknowledge the fact that people are busy. You know, we have busier schedules than ever before, and it's more and more difficult to get to all of the different things, education, resources, et cetera, meetings with professionals that you need to do when you have a busy schedule. And so these clinics take care of everything in one place. So it really is a one-stop shop for businesses.
The clinic coming up on August 14th in Viroqua, it looks like this might be one of the widest variety of subjects you've had in one day, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, for the first time, just for listeners that are not aware of this event, we offer a day-long clinic. It's lecture-style sessions, so we've got some classroom-style sessions, and then we also have one-on-one meetings with consultants and experts. So if you have some questions that you don't want to take in front of a larger audience of 40 or 50 people, lecture style, you can meet with folks one-on-one. And so in order to accommodate some of the wide variety of questions that people usually have, we've actually split the lecture style sessions into two separate tracks. So when you look at some of the registration information from the event, you know, let's say you show up in the morning and you're really interested in the cottage lawsuit and baking muffins out of your home that you sell at a farmer's market, for example. You can go to that session. Or if you're somebody who's an established business and maybe you have some questions about taxes, you can go to that session instead. So there really is a large variety from startups to more mature businesses, even folks who are looking at succession planning, honestly.
When we talk about businesses, you know, I'm first of all thinking about brick and mortar, but you're talking about home businesses and a little bit of everything, aren't you?
Right, exactly. I mean, this is a clinic that is fantastic, whether you are just starting up and you have an online business, a home-based business, whether you're farming, whether you are a restaurant owner or somebody who has a food truck, or whether you're, you know, somebody on Main Street in a brick-and-mortar location. So it really does serve everyone.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but farming, you know, is so diversified in many ways. That's a great opportunity for somebody in that line of work, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we are going to have, you know, some of my colleagues at the universities of Wisconsin from the Food Finance Institute are experts in dealing with USDA grants and loans, different ways to get farm businesses diversified. And they will be there all day meeting with folks one-on-one and also providing some lecture-style sessions.
I like how you termed it, choose your own adventure. I think that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it really is. We understand that people are busy, and so some folks are going to want to stay for the day. We do see quite a bit of that. When we had one of these in Richland Center, we had many folks that were staying for 6 or 7 sessions. But, you know, if you have a busy day or you're taking your kid to baseball or whatever is going on, you can show up for just a couple sessions and then get some contact information and check in with us later. So it really is, whatever works for you is just perfect for this event. And that's why these have been so popular.
Is this the first one you've had in the Viroqua area?
This is. So it's the very first one in Viroqua. Our partners for this, the Viroqua Chamber, is helping out a tremendous amount. Vernon County is also really supportive. And then Western Technical College is actually hosting the event at their location and providing support. So it's really a great group of folks helping out.
Even though it's in Viroqua, we're encouraging everybody in our listening area, aren't we?
That's right. I mean, everybody is welcome. You know, as somebody who lives in the area myself, I live right on the Vernon-Richland border, so I know exactly what it's like to just kind of go to different places based on needs. So this is absolutely open to anyone. So anyone in the region, if you're willing to drive, you're more than welcome. And this is a free event.
I know in the past you've helped out a lot of folks. Is it rewarding to see some of those businesses that you've helped, you know, doing well and thriving these days?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. That's a wonderful question. You know, sometimes all that people need is just a little bit more information in order to take things to the next level. And so that's why, you know, whether you just have some general questions or you really need to update your business plan, if you're looking at using AI for some of your marketing or for some different tasks, you know, all of these things are going to be covered. Legal services, just about anything that you could possibly need relating to your business. We've even welcomed one of the folks from the SBA who is going to come and talk about different funding options for business. So there really is something for everyone here.
I know that in the past, we've talked to you about some of the things that you've done, certainly some of those startup businesses. It's not only for people that have been around for a while, for established businesses, but people who have a light bulb moment, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, if you are thinking about doing something, but you just want more information about how to do things, you know, step by step or which things are the most important to take care of, this is a great place to get some of that education, particularly as it relates to, you know, forming your business. So many, many folks end up going the LLC route when they start their business, and we're going to have somebody all day long helping folks to form their LLCs. So, you know, that service just in and of itself is really helpful for folks. I remember forming my LLC on my own several years ago for some things that my husband and I do on the farm.
From the Office Business and Entrepreneurship, yep. Business consultant Nora Rowan-Schmidt. Good to hear from you again, my friend.
Phil, thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is sentencing day in the Idaho College murders case as Brian Koberger comes face to face with the victims' families. How much we actually hear from Koberger himself is still unclear, says ABC legal analyst Shauna Lloyd.
The judge can compel Koberger to admit his guilt. He also can ask him additional questions if the judge feels as though it's warranted. We know that the family is looking for a lot of answers, such as motive and other things. Those are not typically things that they will find out at this type of hearing.
Koberger expected to be sentenced to four consecutive life sentences. The Justice Department saying now it wants to talk to Jeffrey Epstein's convicted co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell as members of Congress continue pushing the Trump administration to release everything it has on the case. Hunger worsening in Gaza as Israel's blockade of aid continues. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff headed to Rome for talks as the U.S. tries to reach a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas. This is ABC.